Uncle. It's a ball!
It is, but only if you make it so.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voice-over artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there, director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonard!
Never knowingly undersold. Phil, welcome to the Midweek Drive. Thank you. Huge thanks for the jingles and idents. We haven't actually asked Emma or Jessica what they've made of what they've heard so far, but, you know, Emma sort of chipped in with, but he didn't write these. Actually, to be fair, I have to say hats off to Phil, because he was the only soul in the latest episode of Chilpack Hollywood who actually acknowledged this show at all, really. I mean, had it not been for Sam Stone and David Howe, they would have been off on a complete different tangent. I wouldn't have even mentioned how Dean Hagland, he was like almost an afterthought, but I was heartened by 44 minutes into the actual podcast, available of course from Chilpack Hollywood, Phil Leon has actually said he's had the chops even since he was in his 20s, or towards that effect. Chops, I think, is some sort of American phrase. Phil, welcome to the programme. How are you in your Antipodean way?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that you actually played Malcolm Tomlinson's introduction of me, because I got so wrapped up in working just now while listening to Louis Jordan that I naturally just assumed it was Friday, which is the day I ordinarily listen to Louis Jordan nonstop. Wouldn't that be weird? Like, if that's what I did, I listened to his speak singing all the time, the great, late Louis Jordan. What an interesting, odd show that you've had today, not the least of which was my announcement. And yes, thanks for throwing my pronunciation under the bus without bothering to send me any explanation of what some of these things
I thought you took.
You know, it's a cold read. It's a cold read. It's not like I'm a one-man shop here. I'm doing the recording, I'm doing the performing, I'm doing the mixing and the editing.
Look,
I mean,
look,
you
let's
know.
Give Phil Leonard a tremendous round of applause for doing
this. Yay! I think you're really talented. You too.
And those are the words of Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward. So, you know, Penny Evans is listening and she's completely flummoxed. Well, don't worry, it's all right. It's just because The X-Files having 6 more episodes. Sorry, Phil, it's over to you. Carry on, because you know who's in the studio. Darren Scales, Emma Tinson, Jessica Ward, Sue Royce, Nick Elliott. Sue Royce, of course, let's congratulate Sue because she did the full Lincoln 10K on Sunday. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Wow.
Oh, thank you. 6.6 miles, yes.
Yeah, you thought we weren't going to mention it, but there, it's sort of through. I've even paid you, even though I hadn't
done. You have, thank you. Yes, you have. Yes, and I'd just like to say a big thank you to everybody who went on my Just Giving page and donated. I've raised nearly £300 for Tommy's, the childcare and stillbirth charity. So I'm very pleased. Thank you.
That's lovely. So the remaining 15 minutes are now yours, Phil.
Well, as my running coach, I need to ask Sue a couple of questions. Because I've been training for a 10K and almost immediately sustained a high ankle sprain. So the good news about that is after a week off of it, really, and just doing stretching, I've got greater flexibility than I did before. That's the good news. But after not running for a week, I find that my lung capacity is less than it was before I started training. How in a week did I lose all the momentum that I built? And that's my first question for Sue. And the second one is, having now completed this Herculean task of a 10K, what advice can you give me?
Well, Phil, I think probably the best advice I can give you is to start small again. If you've found you've lost your lung capacity, then I wouldn't try and take on, you know, go where you left off, because otherwise you're going to get pretty disheartened pretty quickly, and chances are you might injure your ankle again. So start off, say, running for 5 minutes, walking for 5 minutes, running for 5 minutes, walking for 5 minutes. And to start with, you'll think, well, you know, this is really boring. Why am I doing this after I've sort of regressed backwards? But actually, you will pick up really quickly. If you've got that level of fitness, it'll come back pretty quick. Don't worry. It'll be fine.
And if all this fails... You can always do the Sue Royce wonderful bespoke thing of listen to take that with your eyes closed and your arms in the air.
Yes, there is power of the Barlow. You go. showed me up when I said that.
I've been doing that every day of the week that ends in Y. So it that really hasn't been helping. But I also wonder then, as my diet's been outed, is spaghetti and cups of rum really the right training meal that I should be having?
Well, maybe, yeah, but pasta is certainly a good carb. That's a good running thing, and maybe you need the rum afterwards. But
Darren,
you're the best coach ever.
Yeah.
As an RAF man, I mean, running, sustainability, any advice for Phil?
Well, in the Royal Air Force, I was known as the sports prevention officer.
Nice.
So all I can say is get a cab or a Big Mac in terms of food. Or if you have, in America, if you have those ice cream trucks that play the music, just chase after one of those. That will certainly... Nice. And a reward at the end when you catch up with it.
Those trucks are so creepy, especially in my neighborhood where it plays Helter Skelter, that I would rather have it chase after me. I think that is a better incentive. And I was so pleased that Nick thought that the spaghetti with rum was part of a rock and roll lifestyle that I need to share, that not only were we drinking cups of rum, but we were drinking them out of coffee cups. I almost always have a coffee cup with me no matter what I'm drinking, so that people won't know. Now, some might say that that's actually a plea for help, but I think it's part of the rock and roll lifestyle.
Exactly. Aaron Petrolis, just wanted to mention the name there because I thought I would, just get him before Phil actually does so, because it's very important that Aaron Petrolis is actually mentioned, as I'm sure Phil will actually mention again.
Because this was about, well, this is my young protege, Aaron Petrolis. And interesting,
you should have sent me some pronunciation details. Exactly.
Touche. Hoist by your own petard.
Exactly.
All right. So, the cosplay was fascinating because she's a talented young actress here in Los Angeles. I might have mentioned she's my protege, and she confessed to me the other day that if she were just a little bit more a cosplayer rather than an actress. I think it's probably 51-49 in favor of actress. But if she was just a tad bit more a cosplayer, she would shave her head. But of course, because she's a little bit more an actress, she can't go full-on pink girl. She has to be able to embody the young ingenue roles for which she auditioned.
Having said that, Karen Gillan did shave her head for Guardians of the Galaxy, and that shocked a few people with respect, obviously, moving from Amy or Amelia Pond in Doctor Who, through, which, of course, Phil is Doctor Who. We know that. We've identified that. We don't want to go there again. But it has been done in all sorts of ways. Anyway. Carry on, Phil. You're doing a cracking job. We've mentioned Erin Petrolis. It's like Petrocelli. That was another classic series from the 1970s. Yes. But still, we're getting sage nods from Nick and Darren here. It's great. Don't worry, YouTube is a wonderful thing, Jessica and Emma and Kat. It'll all work through. Keep going, Phil. Whom do you wish to go to? And have you managed to see, to follow that link through to The Drift? Have you enjoyed the wonderment that is The Drift on your computer screen?
Yes, and I would like to take Darren to task for the disclaimer at the beginning that basically says that although this is a movie, this isn't a movie. That this is just us showing you what we're capable of doing rather than... Because I think it does what you've done a disservice. Because I think what you prove is, look, there is no budget level at all is truly an unassailable challenge where unlimited creativity and goodwill is concerned. And I just think it's selling it a little bit short. I loved the short film, for example, that led into the amazing movie Whiplash. They started the journey of making Whiplash by making a short film that was just some of the training sessions for the jazz musician. But they never gave any such disclaimer that, hey, this is part of, we're doing this because we want to do something else. No, they let it stand alone as a piece, and people were so taken by it that then it was expanded outward. And So I would have loved to just be swept away from the very opening frame by what you did.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and it's one that I've been sort of toying with. The disclaimer is only actually available for press release, so you were sent an exclusive version of the movie, complete with time index. You'll notice at the bottom of the screen.
Well, that's because I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah, you are a big deal, and that's why I'm just so glad that you watched the movie. I'm truly flattered. But it's a constant issue for us because on the one hand, I think I'm very pleased and proud of what we've achieved on the budget, etc. And I do think it's a stonking story. I love it. I love the concept of the drift. And I would say that, but then we've worked on it so hard, and I know that it's great. But on the same time, if you're trying to compete or you take it to an audience who has no such background, and that's not to say, like I say, we don't have that disclaimer on the release that when people buy the DVD. We've had the movie online, people bought it, and some people saw, hey, this is great, love it, love what you guys have done with the money, etc. Another guy's saying, man, that sucked, worst $5 I ever spent,
right.
And it's that constant, where do you sit? If you're a filmmaker, you'd be like, wow, how do these guys do it? If you're the audience, we don't know.
But you do realize, Darren, that the same comments are posted about Gravity.
Absolutely.
Or Guardians of the Galaxy. There are still going to be people who say that was the biggest waste of time. So the answer to that is don't read the comments. But the thing that I find fascinating, and I wanted to ask you, because I do love this idea, that you expressed, that people, I'm always a little bit frustrated when I hear artists, saying that they're doing such and such a job or such and such a project because they want to be able to do this other project over here. And I'm always advocating, well, aren't you adding unnecessary steps? Can't you just try to go do that project over here? So I like that you all decided, look, instead of doing just a promo video, or instead of doing anything, let's tell an actual story. We're storytellers, so let's tell an actual story, and if people gravitate towards that story, then we will be able to either spin it off, we'll be able to elaborate on it, we'll be able to expand on it. So I think that that's really actually quite refreshing. And the other element that I think is so cool about it is that I don't think people realize that, a screenplay is a blueprint and that you're constantly rewriting when it comes to filmmaking. You're rewriting when you're prepping it, you're rewriting it when you're rehearsing it, when you're shooting it, when you're editing it, and then when the audience sees it, they tend to rewrite it for you. It really isn't ever, even the writing process itself isn't finished. So I kind of love that, this, I can't wait to see where the screenplay might go based on your experience of now having made it.
Well, thank you very much. I must admit, I'm quite taken aback by your such kind words, what you're saying, because it's exactly what we're hoping to achieve. Is we're not just going to make a short; we're going to make a movie, and let's just do this. We've gone to all this effort. Everyone's working so hard. Let's go for it. And it's what when I work with other filmmakers, say, you've got to do it. Go for it. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Go and make your film, and be proud of what it is you're making. And in terms of where this can go next, the Starlight Universe that we've set up, things are already moving forward. So we're looking at doing things this summer, we're taking it to the next level, and I can guarantee next time there'll be no apologies.
Excellent.
Anything else you wish to sort of add, Phil, to the rest of the team as we've sort of progressed into the last 180 seconds of the production? No.
In America, that would be 3 minutes.
It would, yes, exactly. And you can do the math, you see. Very good.
Right. But if people find out that I can do the math, I'll lose my U.S. citizen status.
True.
Where do I want to go? I don't know. I mean, it was such a freewheeling episode, and I'm still kind of wrapping my head around the way that I think Darren is showing other, aspiring filmmakers how they can, explore their creativity. So I'm going to punt, Alex, and I'm going to let you... Have any of your co-presenters ask me anything they want to.
Let's open it up then, Nick. Anything you want to sort of put to the Leonis Meister?
What are you working on at present, Phil?
Nice one. Very good.
That is an excellent question. Thank you, Nick. Now that I'm almost... I'm done with my work on my latest film, The Lady Killers. The film is almost finished. I've been starting to set my creative sights elsewhere, and this has kind of developed so rapidly that I didn't even know about it on last week's show. But for the first time ever, I'm going to be teaching an acting class. I've been working professionally as a filmmaker and as a director for more than 20 years now, and I had had people reach out to me about maybe teaching a class, and I finally committed to it at the end of last week, and the reaction from especially my oldest colleague has been overwhelming. Like, it just, it's about time, is what they said. So that's what kind of has me really excited today, is I'm prepping the curriculum for my first ever course.
Splendid. Don't worry, they don't bite. Darren, a number between 2 and 26, please.
15.
15. Very good choice. This will take us through to the universe concluding thought after a little bit of, conclusion.
There are no accidents. If it's appeared on your radar, this is why. To teach you that dreams come true. To reveal that you have the power to fix what's broken and heal what hurts. To catapult you beyond seeing with just your physical senses. And to lift the veils that have kept you from seeing that you're already the person you dreamed you'd one day become. And believe me, it was one heck of a dream. Tally-ho, the universe.
Even becoming a teacher. Fantastic. Very noble profession. Great stuff. Okay, that's pretty much a wrap then. We thank the team. But before then, Jessica, would you like to put those last two questions to Phil Dearness in your Antipodean manner?
So, Phil, have you enjoyed this evening's, well, for you, this morning's midweek drive?
And not the parts where my pronunciation was taken.
Aww. Was great. Alex been bullying you again.
I don't use the B word. Friendly banter.
Friendly banter.
Next week we've got Sam Stone in the studio. Who knows what could happen with respect to that? We've got the return of our rat-adopting person, Katie Dorr. It's amazing, really. Anyway, carry on.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Sure. I mean, I'll be on the show next Wednesday, and I'll call each of you individually during the week just to see how you're doing.
Genius. And don't forget, next week, Phil, the hours go back. We spring forward over the weekend. And just to actually test it, Jessica and Emma will be actually having their first experience of Countryside Links when the hour goes forward on the Sunday morning. It's going to be fun. It's going to be marvelous. Sue Royce is going to be there. We don't thank Kaylee Carr. She's on tomorrow morning. We thank Cameron Tilbury, Ilana Rain, Julie C. Myers, Louis Savvy, Jamie Anderson, Gwyneth Flanagan, and your good self, Phil Linus. And in the studio, thanks to Jessica Ward, Sue Royce, Emma Tinson, Kat. Nick, have you enjoyed the programme?
Marvellous.
Of course, it's been three hours, really. And next week, of course, there'll be Sound and Nick's Vision after the show as well, so non-stop. And Darren, your first show, has it proven to be a worthwhile experience?
F-A-B.
Fantastic. All right. Keep on keeping on and listen to Siren, because there's some great stuff coming on after the news, music, and of course Groundworks after that. It's time for us all to say bye-bye. A 1, 2, 3.
Bye!
Bye! Bye.